Hey, welcome to the Crossing Church podcast. You're about to listen to a message from one of our recent meetings, which we trust will bless you. If you're wanting to know more about The Crossing, you can follow us on our social channels or visit thecrossing.org.za. Now lean in and be encouraged by Jesus as you hear his word for you today. You can also drop us a mail at forhim@thecrossing.org.za. The Crossing Church, Christ in us, Christ through us.
And so I'm really just going to just share about the Holy Spirit because he has been incredibly good to me and he has confirmed it in the prayer meetings. It's been an amazing thing how God confirms the word that you're going to share. And I had the incredible privilege of being married to Manny for 35 and a half years. And to many of you that knew him, it was a privilege knowing him because he was a man who loved God passionately. Yeah. Everything Manny did not do in half measures. He sinned big time before he got saved. But after he got saved, man, he was passionate for the things of God and he loved him with his whole heart. And for two-thirds of his life, he was 63 when he passed away and he got born again at the age of 21. For two-thirds of his life, Jesus was his all, and he knew and he loved the ways of God. And what it did, it resulted in us having the privilege of seeing God do incredible miracles over the years. He was a man who heard the voice of God. There's no doubt about that. When I look back over his life, I can hear so many times he'd say, "Dawny, God spoke," and he was a man who obeyed the voice of God. And he would spend time with the Lord, and many of you knew this. There was not a single day in all the years that I knew him that he did not spend time with Almighty God in the scriptures and in the word. He would go to a farm for 25 years where he would just go out into the countryside and he would spend time with the Lord from 9 to 12 every single Thursday for 25 years. He would go carrying burdens and he would come back free because he'd learned to offload them to the one who was able to hold him. Many times if you traveled with Manny, you would know that you would be disrupted at about 3 in the morning because he would get up. If you shared a room with him, he would be up at 3 o'clock in the morning and he would make the toilet and the bathroom his office, where he would lay everything out on the floor and worship the Lord. So whether you wanted to sleep or not, you had to know that Manny was spending time with Jesus. But as his wife, it was at times incredibly overwhelming and hugely daunting when the Holy Spirit would direct Manny to do things that would totally unsettle me and challenge my faith, especially in the early days of our marriage. Oh my word, there were times I wouldn't speak to him for 4 days because God had told him to give his car away and it didn't make sense to me at all. And when I go to him and say, "Manny, why are you giving your car away?" He said, "God spoke." So he says, "If you have a problem, go and chat to him." So I would. I'd go and have a chat to the Lord. I say, "I don't understand you, Jesus." And God would show me time and time and time again that as he walked in obedience, God provided every step of the way. There were times when he would bless somebody with all our savings. We would save diligently and live on the smell of an oil rag for months because we were going overseas. And then Manny would have one trip to Zimbabwe where he'd hear a message on live to give and he'd give all our savings away. And oh my word, it was exciting. He would sometimes say that God's called him to fasting for 21 days, and he would pray and fast for 21 days, drinking water alone. It was like living with Jesus, let me tell you, because he just got all clean, you know, and honestly, it was amazing. And then when God said, "Plant a church," when we were leading a church in Fairview Assembly, and one day he just said, "God said, plant a church." And we left with 1 month's salary of 900 rand and we planted a church out of obedience to Jesus Christ. And this is the result of what God can do in a life that listens to him. And then he says, "Hand over a church," which we've led for 25 years. And you know, he spoke all the time, every step of the way. He showed me and he said, "This is the guy I want you to do it." He did it over a period of 3 years, 3.5 years. He did it slowly. He listened. He kept his head to the master's heart. And it made the most incredibly exciting life to be married to him. But as a result, I've seen firsthand what the Holy Spirit does with lives that are totally sold out to serving him, to honoring him, to hearing him, to obeying him, to being led by the Holy Spirit for the glory of Almighty God. And just it's just been over 7 months since my husband was ushered into the very beautiful realm of Jesus Christ. And I have experienced something that has been absolutely mind-blowing. I've experienced how the presence of God can enfold you, surround you, speak to you, comfort you. And during the 40 days that he was in hospital, they were very, very difficult days. Going in and out of the hospital and seeing him deteriorate so quickly before my eyes, it was his voice and his presence, the Holy Spirit, that so gently and so clearly and so specifically ministered to me during that time. And he gave me such an incredible peace. And I realized from that day forward, and I've always known this, but it's become a greater revelation. I've realized I cannot live one day without his leading. Not one day. You know, I leaned on Manny a lot. And often I would lean on his walk with God. And there would be sometimes, I'll be honest, I'll confess my sin, 2-3 weeks maybe would go past. I hadn't even opened my Bible. And we were pastors in a church. And honestly, you kind of like ride on somebody else's anointing because he carried something in the home. That has changed, my friends. I have not for the last 7 months had one day where I've not entered into his presence, read his word, been ministered to by the Holy Spirit. And if he can do this for me, he can do this for every single one of us. And there were two scriptures that God spoke to me. And what happens when you read the Bible? The Bible is the black on the white. And without the Holy Spirit quickening it to you, it's just the dead letter. But when he quickens it, what he does is he makes it alive. And if you reading it consecutively, Manny would always tell you about his Bible reading plan, okay? Most of you probably got it. What? Murray McShane, somebody. But honestly, that Bible reading plan is such a blessing because you're reading consecutively the Bible. So when God speaks, it's not a hit and miss. You know that he's set you up to be able to hear his voice. And so the two scriptures that he gave me just after Manny passed away, the one was in 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 20, out of the Amplified Bible. This is when David lost their baby. Bathsheba and him had had a baby out of wedlock. And the Lord, in his wisdom, took that little one away. And David fasted and prayed on his face for many days, just in case God would change his mind. But once the little one died, they came and told him that the baby had gone. And then David got up from the ground. He washed his face. He anointed himself, he changed his clothes, and he went into the house of the Lord to worship. And that's a scripture that God gave me. He said, Dawny, I want you to do this. I want you to get up off the ground because honestly, you can be so flat and so scared when you've just lost somebody in such a quick way. He's suddenly there and then he's not there. And he said, get up off the ground. Dawny, every day I want you to wash your face. I want you to get your clothes on. But not only that, I want you to come into my presence and receive the anointing, the lotion, the anointing of the Holy Spirit enabled to be able to move forward into all that he has. And the moment that I obeyed that, I'm telling you, it has been a journey like I would want every single one of you, not to experience the death side, although that is part of life, but out of that, man, there's been such an incredibleness of God inside. The second verse that he gave me, and I believe this verse is for people here today. So if you're hearing the voice of God right now, I want you to receive this word. I want you to write it down because I do believe it's for people here today, not just for me. It's out of Deuteronomy 31, verse 8. And the Lord said to me, do not be afraid and do not be discouraged, for the Lord will personally go ahead of you. He will be with you. He will neither fail you nor abandon you. And I have seen firsthand how God in the last 7 months has gone ahead of me, paving the way before me that I can walk in it. He has set it up for me. I walk into it. It's the most incredible thing. And he is not only paving the way, but he's with me as I walk on the path that he has provided for me. And I am now, I'll tell you, no, you don't need to know my age, but I'm not young anymore. I'm in my 40th year this year of serving Jesus Christ. And I want to tell you, okay, I got saved when I was 18, so you can do the maths. I'm telling you, I've been young, and I've been in full-time ministry since I was 22. And I am getting older. I'm not quite old yet. My dad is nearly 90, my mom is 80. And so you know what, I've got a long way to go. Okay, so anyway, but I've never never seen the righteous forsaken or their children begging for bread. I have never. We have brought up 3 children. And yes, there were times when things were lean, but God has always provided. There has always been enough. I love what Paul says. I've learned to be content when I have much and when I have very little. There have been quite a few times where there's been very little, but it's amazing what you can live on. It's an incredible. And so I believe that there is somebody that lies at the very heart of our effectiveness as Christians, and that enables us to serve the Lord the way we do. I don't believe we can do a single thing without the Holy Spirit. I really believe that with all my heart. Not a single thing can we do without him. And yet we are so quick to not realize that he is present within our lives. It is the personal ministry and presence of the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, who dwells within each believer who believes in Jesus Christ, that enables us to conquer and live this life that we are living. And I love it when Jesus said, he said, when I go, he said, I'm not going to leave you on your own. Isn't this the most incredible thing about the Godhead? Sorry, I just get distracted because he is so amazing. If you think of the light that we see, the sun, you cannot look at the sun because it is so bright that you cannot with your physical eyes look at it. That is the Father. And the light that we see all around us, that is Jesus Christ. He's the light of the world. And the warmth you feel when you're digging for weeds in your garden and it's so hot is the Holy Spirit. And so there's only one sun, but there are 3 in one. And this is the incredible thing. When God the Father sent Jesus, Jesus goes away and he says, right, I'm sending you the Holy Spirit. He's never going to leave you alone. He's got you and he's never going to leave you alone. And he says in John 15:26, when the helper, and listen to what he is, and you know all of this, I'm just reminding you, he is the comforter. He is the advocate. He is the intercessor. He is the counselor. He is the strengthener. He is the standby. He stands right next to me. When he comes, whom I will send from the Father, that is the Spirit of truth, who comes from the Father, he will testify and bear witness about me. Some scriptures say he will bring to remembrance that which I have taught you. Do you know that we forget very quickly? We leak, actually. We forget things so quickly. And so the Holy Spirit comes constantly and reminds you of scripture and the beautiful things. And sometimes we are prone to take this incredible gift that God has given us lightly and for granted. Do you know the Old Testament saints were not privileged like we are? We are living in a dispensation of incredible, incredible goodness and grace of God. You know, the Old Testament saints, the Holy Spirit was not around. He would come and fall upon them when they were needed to be used by God. There were times when there would be almost 100 years where they hadn't heard the voice of the prophets, and the Holy Spirit would only fall on certain people. It was chiefly the priests, the judges, the kings, and the prophets. So what about you and I? No, nothing. I mean, that is like kind of, it's hard to imagine living that what we are living in today. But when you realize that the same Spirit that rested upon Moses, that rested upon Elijah, that rested upon David, that rested, no, in fact, filled Jesus Christ fully to full measure, is the same Spirit that he has given to you and I. Are we not able to do greater works than what they did all those times? Not because of who we are, but because of the presence of the Holy Spirit. I believe the Holy Spirit is still here today, and his purpose is the same. It's to change and impact our lives, but not just to make us feel oozy-goosey and have goosebumps. No, it is because we have a world that desperately needs hope, desperately needs to see something different, desperately needs to see people who are happy. Because honestly and truly, it is very hard to be happy if you do not know Jesus, because so many things cloud your mind, and so many things that we do when we do not know Jesus cause us to enter into such bad kind of lifestyle and all those things that come with us. And so salvation will transform your life, and the Holy Spirit will have a tremendous influence upon the way you walk. Not only does he bring salvation, which is justification, and many of you might say you've never heard the voice of God. Can I tell you something? If you are sitting here and you are born again today, you've heard his voice. Because it's not necessarily the audible voice, it's the voice of the Spirit. So even if you're sitting here today and you don't know Jesus, you might be feeling something of a stirring in your heart. Please listen to that voice, because that is the Holy Spirit speaking. So every single one of us here are able to hear his voice. Honestly, we sometimes look for the big and glorious. It's often the small and the little. And so don't set your mind on how it should happen. The Holy Spirit's speaking all the time, and it's wonderful, absolutely wonderful. And so when we read the New Testament and see how many times the New Testament speaks about the Holy Spirit, he was very much a part of their lives in a supernaturally natural way. The Holy Spirit is not weird, my friends. He is supernaturally natural. He works in just everyday life, in what we are doing. He doesn't expect you to float on cloud 10. He expects you to have your feet on the ground, but know of his presence inside of you and know how to reach those around you with his love. And he's absolutely wonderful. The Holy Spirit, my friends, is a person. He is not a thing or a vapor or a mist. He personal pronouns are attributed to him. So what is a person? Is it the physical body? I don't think so, because when a person dies, all that is left is a shell that's left. What is it? What makes up a person? It's what's on the inside. It's the emotions, it's the will, it's the intellect, the ability to respond, to speak, to grieve, to love, to experience joy. The Holy Spirit has all of those because he is a part of the Godhead, and he can grieve, he can be filled with joy, and he is the one who is so real and so alive and so living inside of us. He is the power of the Godhead. We need the Holy Spirit in order for us to know Jesus and to know the Father. And the beautiful thing is he has freely given us the Holy Spirit so that we can know Jesus better and that Jesus can be glorified in our lives. The Holy Spirit never, ever points to himself. He always points to Jesus. So when you are tuning with him and communicating with him, he's going to exalt Jesus in your life and make him bigger. When we need to talk to the Father and bring our requests before him, let the Holy Spirit bring those requests before the Father for you. It works hand in hand. In Acts chapter 2:38, it says, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." You know, the reality is that sin has to be removed from our lives first, because God is a holy God. And so when we have sin in our lives, which every single one of us have because we have the Adamic nature, that has to be removed. And you know who did that? The Lord Jesus Christ. By dying on the cross, he removed the sin for us, setting us up for victory, so that when he went to glory and he offered his blood to his Father, he did not spill his blood, he shed it. It was not an accident. When he did that, he just sent the Holy Spirit to fill that vacuum within our lives. And so the Holy Spirit comes and we receive this gift. In Romans 8 verse 9 it says, "But you are not controlled by your sinful nature." Can I tell you that? 2019, you are not controlled by your sinful nature. You do not have to be selfish. You do not have to be ugly. You do not have to lose your temper. You do not have to swear, because you are not controlled by your sinful nature any longer. You are controlled by the Holy Spirit, if you have the Holy Spirit living in you. And remember that those who do not have the Holy Spirit living in them do not belong to him at all. And so if that is you today, man, I tell you, what a way to start 2019, by allowing God the Holy Spirit to come in you and letting Jesus forgive your sin. In Romans chapter 5 verse 5, it says, "The love of God has been poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, who has been freely given to us." I want you to do a little experiment. Manny did this every time the Holy Spirit was mentioned in his Bible. And if you ever saw Manny's Bible, oh my word, he'd go through them, you know, and they'd eventually fall apart. But his Bible was like the color code of note. Every page was colored. And he'd written HS, 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 everywhere the Holy Spirit was mentioned. And it's an incredible thing to know how much the Bible actually does talk about him. It's amazing. And so he is the promise of the Father, but how did it all work? In Acts chapter 2:23, "God raised Jesus from the dead, and we are witnesses of this," they said. "And now he is exalted to the place of highest honor in heaven at God's right hand. And the Father, as he had promised, gave him the Holy Spirit to pour out upon us, just as you see and hear today." Jesus had to be exalted before the Holy Spirit could come down. And so the fact that we have the Holy Spirit here, living on this earth, in our bodies, in these temples, we know that Jesus Christ is exalted. There is no doubt in my mind that he is seated in the heavenly realms with his Father, because I have the proof of the living Holy Spirit living and breathing inside of me. You know, in the Bible, in the Old Testament, there was a family, and there was a young man named Joseph. And Joseph was an incredible young man. He just loved life, and he just loved telling his brothers that they were going to bow down to him, and his dad was going to bow down. And then his dad loved him. He really, really loved him. Jacob loved him, and he gave him this amazing coat, which was not helpful because he shone like the stars, you know. Everywhere he went in the middle of the desert, he was the brightest thing that you could see, because there was nothing else in the desert. And so Jacob and Joseph had this incredible relationship. But one day, Jacob hears that his son is gone. He's been killed by an animal, and he grieves. And for the rest of time, Jacob grieved the loss of that one boy. I don't think he was ever the same again after that. And yet we know the truth. We know that he wasn't dead, that he had actually been taken into slavery. He'd land up in Potiphar's house in the prison and then in Pharaoh's palace. And we knew that Joseph, right now, because we had the little preview, we knew that he was actually in glory and honor in the palace of the Pharaoh, and that he was actually doing incredibly well, and that he was actually being totally blessed. But Jacob did not know that. And when the news came, your son is still alive, he didn't believe it. That is not possible. All these years wasted grieving over my son. It's not possible that he could be alive. And then he looks in the distance and he sees this cloud of dust coming into the desert. And he sees these chariots coming close and closer, laden with amazing things and food and gold and jewelry and everything coming right in. And there, sitting there, is his son, Joseph, saying, "Dad, Dad, I'm alive." That's when Jacob believed, when he saw the chariots coming, laden with goodies for them, and not only just laden, but to take him with back to Egypt, back into Goshen, where he would prosper and be blessed. My friends, that is the Holy Spirit. That's what he does. Jesus Christ has died, and he is in a place of glory and honor. And when he comes to you with the Holy Spirit, he comes laden. He says, "I am giving you the Holy Spirit, who carries all the gifting of heaven. Would you receive this gifting? But not only that, I want the Holy Spirit to take you on this journey, to take you out of the wilderness, to take you out of the desert, and take you to this place of Goshen, where we will prosper and multiply and be blessed in a place of safety." The Holy Spirit does that. And not only that, he will usher you one day to the very glory of glories, which is the kingdom of Almighty God, where we will be taken up. The Holy Spirit does that. In 1 Corinthians 3:16, you know the scripture. "Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit?" In the Old Testament, the children of Israel lived in tents. It could not have been easy, especially if I don't think they had rain and hail like we had last night. But can you imagine living in a tent? But there was one tent that was completely different, and it was set in a certain place. And all the tents of the tribes of Israel were around that. But around the outside, the first layer of tenting was the Levites, which was the priests. And the Levites were there to protect the people from the wrath of God and from the presence and the glory of God. And why was that? Because on Mount Sinai, when God wanted to speak to children of Israel personally, individually, they drew back. And they said no, they were terrified. They said, no, we don't want you, God, to speak to us personally. We cannot handle it. We'd rather you just stay, God, this mighty fire, and you can speak through Moses, and he can then tell us exactly what you have to say. And so here they have this tent that they could not even touch, that they could not even approach because of a decision that they'd made. And yet there was one man who could, and that was Moses. Moses spoke to God face to face, and he entered into the very folds of that tent to be able to speak to Almighty God. And you know, the beautiful thing is, my friends, is that we can do that because the Holy Spirit lives inside of us. You know how privileged we are to receive the Holy Spirit, that we can have intimate fellowship with the Father, this holy, awesome God. And because of what Jesus Christ has done, we could not outside of Jesus, because Jesus had to clean us up first, because God our Father is holy. And you cannot enter his presence if you have sin. But because we are in Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit brings us right into the very throne room of God where we can experience him. It is an incredible thing. And Jesus and Jesus alone has made this possible. And when you grasp the fact that the Almighty God has made our hearts, and I know the Bible talks about our inner beings, our soul, spirit, man, but let's just call it our hearts, the inside part of us. He's made our hearts his dwelling place. And when I understand that I carry the presence of the Holy Spirit within me, it creates an overwhelming sense of the goodness of my God. He has created a heart within me to want to worship him, to want to bow down, to want to exalt him, that he's entrusted his power, his love, his might, his strength to me, an imperfect, fallen human vessel, a vessel made of dull old clay. Actually, that's all I am. I'm just made of clay. But that which is within me is glorious. When I realize that, I am undone in his presence, because I realize, God, God, you are incredible. He is incredible. No words can say it. In 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 14, it says, "The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you." There you have the Trinity wrapped up in one. And so, just as I'm bringing this to a close, what does communion entail? It means, number one, the presence. The presence. Do you know you can experience God 24/7? He is always there. You don't have to book an appointment. You don't have to knock on his door and wait outside or stand in a queue waiting for the doctor. You can always, always approach him. 24/7, he is available to you. His presence is available as you're driving your car. His presence is available when you're sitting by a swimming pool watching your daughter swim. His presence is available all the time. And as a result of that, his voice is available all the time. So just keep the tuners open. Don't get so distracted that you don't hear him. The second thing, he is there for fellowship. Do you know one of my favorite times at this moment in time is Manny and I used to have a lot of fellowship, okay? And we would drink tea and coffee together and sit outside and pray. And I really miss that. But you know who's replaced that? The Holy Spirit. So we sit outside and we drink coffee together. I'm not sure if he's drinking coffee, but I'm drinking my coffee together. And you know, we chat. And I just thank him for the beautiful garden. And I say, oh Lord, when I get home, I'm going to have to rake up the leaves. And it's just been amazing. Just fellowship with him. And then the third thing is sharing. Sharing deep concerns. You know, sharing, Lord, I'm not quite sure how to do this. I'm not quite sure how to do that. And then deep concerns as well concerning people. And he brings them to remembrance. And I say, Lord, Holy Spirit, I can't actually pray the way I should. Just would you help me do that? And he does. Number four, participating with him. Involving him in everything. Do you know he is incredible? He is absolutely incredible. Do you know he can give you the strength of Samson to take a trailer and put it on the car? Can I tell you, he is amazing. He is absolutely amazing. And you might think, Dawny, you're being a bit weird, but I promise you, he is amazing. I borrowed Brad's lawnmower, and it's jolly heavy, and I've got this in the car, so now I'm saying, okay, Holy Spirit, there's nobody to help me now. And Brad was amazing. He lent it to me, but I didn't expect him to come and help me take it out. And I said, Holy Spirit, please, I need your strength. And whoosh, and boom, and this little old granny, boy, there it goes. And there it is. And then I say, Lord, now you got to help me to do this lawn, because I've never done it in my life before. And I have missed a few little spots where you can see it's got a little beard, but it's fine. And honestly and truly, he's been amazing. You know, little things like traveling on holiday, he just helped me. I had such a peace, you know. And so he participates with me. Another amazing little key I want to tell you, especially for those that are a little bit senior here. You know, you kind of forget a lot of things. And I forget where my cell phone is regularly and my glasses. I've got about six pairs around the house because you need to find them somewhere. And I just can't find them. And I can't find them. I say, Holy Spirit, where is this? I remember we had little Kylie, our little Down syndrome granddaughter, was staying with us, and she's got one nostril that really seeps a lot because it's not closed at the top. And she really needs this thing called a snot sucker, okay, because you have to get it out, and she can't blow her nose at that stage. And I lost this thing. And I'm thinking, Lord, where is this? This child is streaming. I need to get the stuff out of her. Said, Holy Spirit, I don't know where it is. You know what he said? He said, it's in your dressing gown pocket. Oh, I mean, I couldn't believe it. So clear. It happened the last week. My mom phones me and she says, my dad and I are off to the optometrist. I can't find my glasses, and they're prescription glasses anyway. Can't find them anywhere. At that moment, Holy Spirit drops her and said, Mommy, go and look under your bed. She goes and looks under her bed. She phones me a minute later. You won't believe this. She says, I found my glasses. God is doing that more and more. It is the most exciting thing because he helps you. And then number five is friendship. Having somebody who loves and supports me and has my back all the time. He loves me and he is my best friend and he will never leave me. And then leadership. Where he guides, I will follow. And I loved what Brad said. I am submitted to a leadership team. So when I feel the Holy Spirit's leading me for something, I will tell them. If I'm feeling he's leading me to say yes to some appointments and ministry opportunities that are coming, I submit it to them, and they yes and amen, the Holy Spirit's leading. And it's a beautiful, beautiful thing. And then number seven, he comforts and he strengthens when it all becomes too much. When there are times when I feel like I am seriously falling apart and I'm coming undone, he is there to comfort and to strengthen and to sustain me. And then as you start to get to know him, you'll find these 11 things are going to start happening in your life. The first thing is the word of God suddenly becomes alive. Amen. Scripture comes alive. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. You're going to find suddenly scripture comes alive. It's like there's no fresh revelation. You know, the canons of scripture have been closed. There's no fresh revelation, but the Holy Spirit brings and quickens things to your mind, and it's wonderful. Ask him to teach you the scriptures. Ask him to teach you what they mean. He's put amazing things together to help us to grow doctrinally. Great men of God who, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, have written things to help us. So I'm not opposed to reading that, because I need to know what scripture says, and sometimes as I'm reading their books, it gives me a revelation of the scripture, and the Holy Spirit's in it all, mixing the whole thing together. Charles Spurgeon wrote this. He said, the Holy Spirit brings a fresh lamp to manifest the treasures hidden in Scripture. He unlocks the strong chests where the truth has long been and points to secret chambers filled with untold riches. There is enough in the Bible. If you live for as long as Methuselah, there is enough in the Bible for you to live on forever. Can I tell you? It's amazing. Secondly, he stops the cares of the world from choking the promises of God. You know, when you think of that proverb that Jesus, parable that Jesus gave, where he said, I sow the word, and it falls on hard soil, doesn't make any effect. It then falls onto shallow ground, and it doesn't have any effect. It then falls on ground, and it takes root, but then the cares of the world come and choke it. The other one falls on good soil. The one where the cares of the world are. You know what God does, the Holy Spirit? He stops the cares of the world from choking the promises of God. Do you know what the cares of the world actually means? The anxiety, the cares of the world that we have, it's a divided mind. And when we have a divided mind, we all listen to the Holy Spirit, I'll listen to the opinions of man, you're never going to have a solid foundation. It's always going to be cracked. And so the Holy Spirit comes and he says, don't be divided in your mind. Be solid, be focused, be set on me, and I will stop the cares of the world from choking the promises of God. Number three, your prayer life will take on a new dimension. No more yawning or repetitions or thinking, what am I going to have to pray the same thing again, but an adventure. And you know what I'm finding is happening? As I'm walking in my garden, he drops things in. I say, well, let's just pray about it. We chat about it. You know, I'm praying for a guy in Dubai right now who's really, really not doing well. And every now and then the Holy Spirit will remind you. It's not like I sit and I have this same old prayer for Mike every single day. I just saying, Lord, you know, Jesus, Holy Spirit, I'm committing. I pray lots in my heavenly language because I don't know how to pray as I ought to. And I know that when he prays in and through me, it's perfect prayers that the devil cannot understand. And so it's an incredible gift that he's given us. And then number four, he transforms your daily life, making you more and more like Jesus. Do you know he nudges you? If I told you a lie, I know I've told you a lie because the Holy Spirit, whoa, he gives you a little, you know, and you know it, and then you're like trying to wiggle your way out of the line. You think, I can't confess my sin to this person because then they're going to know that I've sinned, you know, and I've just told this massive lie, you know. But you know it. You know it when you do things wrong. And the Holy Spirit is doing that, not condemning you, convicting you, because he wants Christ to be more and more like you. He wants your word to be your word, and so he trains you up to be like that. Number five, he gives you an incredible love and a grace to love people from all walks of life, whether they are little, whether they are different color, whether they are really awful people, whether they are sick people. He gives you the incredible love to be able to love them and to give of yourself to them. Number six, I love what Brad said. You will find yourself wanting to give. I often wondered why Manny was like he was. Now I fully understand. It was that constant walking in God's presence every day that you cannot help but be generous. I am looking for people, and I'm saying, Holy Spirit, who is it can I give to now? Who is it can I give to? Because it's the most incredible thing. Whether it's just a word of encouragement, whether it's finances, whether it's something that I have, I want to be able to always have my hands open. Because when your hands are open, they are open to receive blessing from the Lord as well, and it's a beautiful thing. Number seven. He grows his nature within you. What is his nature? The fruit of the Spirit. As you are rooted deeply in the Holy Spirit, you will find there is love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, humility, faithfulness, and self-control. Beautiful fruit that he grows in your life. That is just absolutely magnificent. And then number eight, he sets you free from the enemy's shackles. Can I tell you, the enemy would shackle you with all sorts of things. He shackles you predominantly, I think, a lot of us, especially women, with fear. Fear of the future, fear of how we're going to cope. Fear, it shackles you. And you know, there are also things that we can be addicted to. It's not just drugs. We can be addicted to a lot of things. And the Holy Spirit comes and unshackles us. He shackles us from unbelief when we can't really believe God. He comes and he sets us free from that shackle of unbelief, sorry. And then basically, I'll never forget going on holiday. There's men who have gone down to Hole in the Wall will know. There's a pass that is literally like this. And I have never, when Manny was driving, looked forward going down that path. I have always turned round and spoken to Tiffany in the back of the car and prayed in tongues all the way down, because I cannot do roller coasters and I cannot do that sort of steep, and I promise you it's that steep. Ask them, it is that steep. Even the night before when we stopped at Aliwal North, I got the butterflies and I was dreaming about this mountain that I had to cross because I was terrified. I had such an overwhelming fear. How am I going to do this? I'm driving a car that I'm not used to. I've got to do this. So I got all the advice I could from all the men that I could take, get it into third gear, because men do seem to not get fazed by things like this. And we hit the mountain, and your mom and dad will witness and testify. It was all the way down the mountain as I pumped the brakes, put it in third, and I just kept pumping. I didn't hold it down there forever, just pumped. We got down that mountain, and I said, Jesus, what was I so afraid of in the first place? But honestly and truly, he sets you free. And I'm probably going to have that fear again. It's going to take a few times, but I will get eventually the total victory over that thing. Yeah, amen, I receive that. And then number nine, he directs your life, giving you wisdom to make the right decisions. You know, Manny used to do the decisions, doctrine and discipline in our home. And so now there's decisions that I've got to make, and I have no clue at times. So I've really asked the Holy Spirit to help me with his wisdom, to show me which decisions to make. And then number 10, he gives you hope as an anchor for your soul. And there is somebody here who's hopeless right now. You're going into 2019 and you're not knowing what to expect. You're not feeling really confident of going into this year. And this is a scripture that God is going to give to you. Romans chapter 15, verse 13. I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust in him. Then you, my dear friend, will overflow with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. And if you're feeling that way, I want you to tap into the Holy Spirit, because he is the confident hope that you are able to do exceedingly abundantly, more than you think, because you have him within you. And then lastly, he floods your heart with joy, unspeakable joy. And honestly, truly, as we become more aware of his presence and we yield to him daily, our speech, our attitude, our activities will change. Our words will be uplifting. There's an overwhelming sense of peace within our hearts. And finally, he leads it to such an overwhelming sense of gratitude. I tell you something the Holy Spirit has done. He's given me such an attitude of gratitude. Yes, 2018 was incredibly hard, but I have seen the incredible goodness of God. And whether it's a chirping bird, whether it's a great big thing, whether it's the provision that God has provided for Tiff and I, it has been a supernatural thing how he has provided and set us up for such victory. I have such a heart of gratitude. And can I tell you, when you have a heart of gratitude, it's the most wonderful thing taking you forward. So thank him. Find something in every day to thank him for. There are many things in your day that you can thank him for. Thank him for your health, your cars, your blessings, whatever, your children. Thank him. Thank him for even that son or that daughter that has gone astray, that, Lord, you're going to bring that one back. Thank him. There is amazing power. And 2 Corinthians 13:14 out of the Message says, may the amazing grace of our Master, Jesus Christ, the extravagant love of God, the intimate fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. May God help us to live from the inside out. Amen.